Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Wednesday, February 26th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to gather around the virtual water cooler and talk about what we've been watching. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi, hi, hiya.
All right, BJ, before we get into what we've been watching, let's talk about what we've been doing. I haven't really been doing much, but you've been doing something pretty interesting.
Yeah, so I have started my laser hair removal journey, which I know very, very exciting for people that are fans of movies, I'm sure. But as some of the listeners might know, I have I'm a pancreatic cancer survivor, and the type of cancer that I had, my tumors were neuroendocrine. They really messed up my endocrine system after all of my surgeries. And I'm finally at a place where my doctors are like, yeah, let's start trying to like fix a lot of the problems that sparked because of my endocrine system being a nightmare. And one of those is laser hair removal, because I have no problem admitting this. If I did not shave daily, I could have a beard by the end of the week. And you know what? Some people can rock a beard. Some women can rock a beard. I am not one of those people, because the beard that I grow is embarrassing. Like, it is absolutely like a neck beard. I can't even like grow something cool. Like, it's just patchy and gross. So it's got to go. So about 2 hours ago, I had my first laser hair removal session.
Oh, wow. So how did it go?
It went really, really well. It's like, it doesn't hurt nearly as much as you think. I mean, I've got a bunch of tattoos. That's, you know, way worse. Honestly, the weirder thing is that they, you know, because when they zap you, like, it cooks the hair, essentially. Like, it gets into the root, it zaps it. So you can smell like burning hair coming off of your face, which is a wild feeling. But, you know, a couple hours later, like, I feel pretty good. I'm only like a little bit red, but, you know, that's not anything, you know, to worry about. So very, very excited. I still have to do a bunch of sessions across the next couple of weeks. So you have to like wait 4 weeks and then come back. But very, very excited to not have to, you know, shave my face every day.
There you go. Man, I tell you what, this podcast contains multitudes. You never know what you're going to get on here. So awesome. Okay, so what have you been reading recently, BJ?
Yeah, so how I got to this is obviously the Oscars are coming up and Demi Moore is up for an Oscar. And if she wins, she will be the first Brat Packer to win an Oscar, which is like kind of a really big deal because the Brat Pack are like, there's just such like a cultural touchstone for a generation. And none of them really have like gotten to like that next level. Like they're like pop actors, but they don't get their flowers very often. And so I rewatched the Bratz documentary, which is essentially Andrew McCarthy showing the world why he needs to go to therapy for 2 hours. But one of the people they talked to in the Bratz documentary is an author named Susanna Gora, who wrote the book You Couldn't Ignore Me If You Tried, The Brat Pack, John Hughes, and Their Impact on a Generation. And it's one of the few like Brat Pack books I've not read yet. Because again, like I have a teen girl movie podcast called This Ends at Prom, and I haven't read this book. So it's been really interesting because it is so clearly written by somebody who was formed by the Brat Pack movies. And so part of the book is like kind of like how these movies got made, what went into the casting, a lot of like fun behind the scenes stuff. But then there's also sort of like the tabloidy gossipy side of it, because the Brat Pack really did usher in a new way for like the media to be in conversation with actors, the way that we now see it with, you know, we all know a little bit too much probably about Zendaya and Tom Holland, but that sort of gossip really, really hits a fever pitch with the Brat Pack. So like that's in it as well. But then also about like how these movies impacted like the teen culture of Gen Xers. So it's been really interesting. I'm about like 3/4 of the way through right now. But it's interesting. It's like a very passionate oral history with a lot of like personalized commentary, if that makes sense.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So how would you rank that compared to some of the other Brat Pack related stuff that you've read?
This one I really like because I think that it is, it's very conversational and it's not afraid to like pick sides in a way that I really respect, where it's like, This person very clearly like respects John Hughes, but also is like, yeah, he was kind of like a problematic guy with like weird beliefs and weird politics. And like, it's okay to like acknowledge that. So I really like that. I think the personal touch helps this. It feels like you're learning something, but the person that is teaching you isn't trying to talk above you. They're trying to be in conversation with you, which I think, again, is beneficial for like who all of these actors were and how culture treated them, and also like how their films have had, you know, a permanent lasting impact and changed an entire genre of cinema.
Very cool. Okay, so that's called You Couldn't Ignore Me If You Tried. Definitely check that out. Let's get into what we've been watching. I watched a movie called No Other Land, which is a documentary that it's shot by a collective of Palestinian and Israeli activists. And it chronicles the community of Masafiyata in the occupied West Bank, which is under attack by the Israeli army and armed settlers who are forcing Palestinian people from their homes, sometimes with seconds of notice, and then bulldozing their houses because they're claiming this land, which the Palestinian families have lived on for generations. They're claiming that like this land is now needed for Israeli training grounds for the army or something like that, right? So, to put it extremely mildly, people have obviously had very strong and emotional feelings about Israel and Palestine for a very long time. But I think anyone with eyes and a shred of empathy who watches this documentary will see that what's happening there is just unconscionable. Like, not only are families being uprooted and homes being destroyed, but water supply lines are being cut and innocent unarmed people are being shot in the streets. Like, the footage is just gut-wrenching. It's extremely powerful and totally infuriating. That's the biggest emotion that I felt watching this. It's just like the pure fury of the injustice of it all. There's a moment in the beginning of this documentary where one of the subjects basically says, we just need to get footage of this taking place, because if the United States sees it, they'll hold Israel accountable and stop this. And my stomach just sank when I saw that, because it was this documentary was filmed a couple years ago, It's just coming out now. And obviously that has not happened. In fact, the opposite has happened. And I don't know, like, it might be naive on my part, but I do think the more people are aware of this, maybe there's a slightly better chance that something can actually be done about it. So the movie's called No Other Land. It's in theaters right now in New York and LA and around 2 dozen other cities. But all of the distributors are too scared to pick it up. So The filmmakers, who are also the subjects of the movie, are releasing it themselves in something like 100 cities over the coming weeks. So people will have a chance to hopefully see it then. It's the front runner to win Best Documentary at the Oscars this weekend. I can't think of another time when an Oscar-winning feature didn't have distribution. So I hope the filmmakers are able to accomplish what they want with this release and then maybe like put it online for people to buy or rent from them directly or somehow check it out, because I would love for this to be a widely seen thing and kind of raise awareness for the stuff that's going on there. It's a tough subject matter, but just a really, really good documentary. Have you seen this, BJ?
Oh, yeah. So, oh, God. It's been playing in the microcinema at Vidiot's, and this is like, it's been sold out every single screening. And that I think is really like incredible. But yeah, this is, like, calling this a documentary feels like almost inaccurate, because it's like, this is one of the most like brilliant pieces of like journalism. Like, this is like, it's, yes, it's a documentary, but like, it is telling the world what's really going on over there in ways that our own journalists and media have completely failed to do. It is a very hard watch. It is a very necessary watch. And there are a few moments in here that like just put a pit in your stomach. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If this doesn't win Best Documentary, I think like there will be like an uproar, because there's nothing else like this.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's called No Other Land. On the other side of things, I watched The Third Man again, which I hadn't seen in several years. This is from 1949. Carol Reed directed this. Joseph Cotten stars. Orson Welles famously in this movie. Have you seen this, BJ?
Oh, my God. It's been forever.
Yeah. I think we talked about it on the podcast before. I think Brad watched it for the first time a couple years ago, and then I hadn't seen it. I went back in my personal log, and I hadn't seen it since 2018. But the more I revisit it, the more I'm convinced it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. Graham Greene's script is just lights out on both a dialogue level and a propulsive narrative level. It just slowly doles out information about the mystery of this character named Harry Lime, who everybody talks about, and what did or didn't happen to him is the subject of this big mystery. And last time we talked about this movie, we talked about the unbelievable cinematography in the war-torn city of Vienna with the Dutch angles and the just incredible lighting in this movie. And we talked about how charismatic Orson Welles is. And I think for me, I just want to shout out Alida Valli, who some people have referred to as the femme fatale of this movie because it's a film noir. But in the 4K Steelbook 75th Anniversary Collector's Edition of this movie, which Lionsgate released earlier this week and which I highly recommend, there's a great essay that argues in favor of this character, and it aims to reclassify her as a loyal, heartbroken woman instead of some kind of seductress like you might find in a more typical noir movie. And I think, you know, a lot of people have a lot of great things to say about The Third Man, but I feel like her performance kind of gets lost in that conversation a little bit. So I just wanted to highlight it here. It's just really terrific stuff. And I definitely need to seek out more of her work, because I think this is the only movie that I've seen her in. I did also want to shout out a couple of the bonus features real quick. One of them features a musician playing Anton Karas's really memorable score on the zither, which is an instrument that I'd never seen being physically played before. And it is just like really hypnotizing to watch. It's incredible. As somebody who dabbles with playing the guitar a little bit, this is it has many, many more strings than a guitar. It's almost like a combination of a guitar and a harp. And watching somebody play it, it's like, oh my God, all of this music is coming out of one person and one little instrument doing all this stuff. It's really incredible. So that's very cool. And then another one of my favorite features goes in depth about the restoration process that went into creating this incredible looking 4K version of the movie. I've heard a lot about restorations and you kind of think, or I did anyway, I kind of thought I knew what went into stuff like that. This featurette is simultaneously one of the most dry and one of the most fascinating videos that I've ever seen, because it provides this look at how folks who worked on the restoration scanned existing film prints into a computer and used different programs to scene by scene and eventually frame by frame clean up the image and get rid of dirt and dust and grime and stuff like that. And it's super dry because they interview the people who actually do those jobs all day, and they're clearly not used to talking on camera. So like, there's something kind of charming about these experts who are like fumbling with their words and trying desperately to explain these complicated processes to lay people. And I've just never really seen that step-by-step process, I guess, laid out so clearly before. So I think if young people who love movies watch something like that, it's the kind of video that could maybe inspire people to seek out a career path that they might not have otherwise known about. My wife and I were talking about that, like, oh man, if I knew this was a job, like when I was a kid, maybe that's a thing that I could have pursued. And it always seems like, you know, it's decades later where we're like, oh man, that's a job? What? Like, what? So anyway, that's a really cool aspect of this new version of The Third Man, which is, yeah, just an incredible 4K version. And this movie is like an all-time classic, one of the best to ever do it. So
One of the things you said, you were saying that you think this is the only thing you've ever seen with Alita Valley in it. Have you not seen Dario Argento's Suspiria?
Oh, yes, I have. Yes, I have.
She's one of the teachers.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I forgot.
Mean, My wife was older, but yes.
Yes. Yeah, she was reading off, I think she was kind of like, right after we watched this movie, we were like, what else was she in? And my wife was telling me that she was reading about how Valley was kind of like this anti-fascist legend in Italian cinema at one point. She was like refusing to participate in certain films because they had fascist undertones and stuff like that. And I was like, man,
she was so cool, especially because like Mussolini was like, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. And she was like, yeah, fuck you. No. Which I think is great.
That's great. I think she did mention that she was in Suspiria. I forgot about that one, but very few things. I need to catch up on more of her work. Okay, and the last movie that I want to talk about real quick is called The Last 5 Years. So I generally like musicals, but maybe contradictorily, I'm not a fan of what people would call theater kid energy. And I'm trying to be careful here, knowing that I'm podcasting with, I think, a self-professed theater kid right now. I have some of that in my own family as well. My sister was involved in musical theater growing up, and this is one of her favorite movies. So she recommended this to me. But there's a certain type of exaggerated, like, playing for the cheap seats performance style that I don't typically react very well to. And that is on full display in The Last 5 Years, which came out in 2014. Have you seen this? Do you know anything about this movie?
Okay, so here's my controversial take here. I love The Last 5 Years as a stage production. I do not think this movie works. I don't think that this story translates well to a film adaptation because of exactly what you're saying. And that's no shade to Jeremy Jordan and Anna Kendrick. I love them both dearly. I think they're super, super talented. But I have seen like community theater productions of The Last 5 Years that are better than this movie.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I wonder if I would like it a little bit more on stage. I ultimately came off like kind of mixed on it, but okay. So Anna Kendrick and Jeremy Jordan play this young married couple. And despite the theater kid energy that's just positively radiating off the screen, there were moments when they actually managed to kind of like break down my defenses and get to me a little bit. So I want to give the movie some credit for that. But the timeline, the structure of this thing is the most interesting thing about it, I think. And as you said, it's based on this stage play, or stage musical version. But like, the movie opens in 2014. Anna Kendrick's character is reeling from a breakup, and then it immediately cuts back in time to 2009. And Jeremy Jordan's character has just met Anna Kendrick for the first time, and they're starting their relationship. And the whole movie trades off back and forth with her timeline going backwards and his timeline going forward through that relationship. I've never really seen anything quite like that. So I spent a decent portion of this movie rolling my eyes, but another chunk of it, I was very invested. So it was a little bit of a roller coaster experience for me. I think the movie is pretty uneven, but I also think it's maybe worth watching if you like unconventional scripts, if you're interested in just sort of studying story structure and stuff like that. I think there's a lot to glean from this. And then if you're a big Anna Kendrick fan, she's great in this. So what are your memories of the movie, BJ, and like, I guess how that compares to the seeing it live?
Yeah, so I love the structure of the last 5 years a lot because Merrily We Roll Along is my favorite Sondheim show, and that is a show that goes backwards, starts at the end of people's friendship and then, you know, ends at, you know, the start of their friendship. And so getting to see that like kind of happening at the same time in the last 5 years, I think is very, very interesting. I think that Jeremy Jordan is a ridiculously talented performer, but I think that he is a little big when he's on the movie. And then Anna Kendrick, I like love the how she just really was the queen of the 2010s, thanks to like Pitch mm-hmm. Perfect and Twilight and Scott Pilgrim and everything she did. And I think that this is a great showcase for her. But I am so just like attached to the stage production and some of like the like one of the original casts that I'm like very much into. Norbert Leo Butz is the one who plays Jamie in it. He's mostly a stage guy. I love him in a lot of things. He's also the dad in Exorcist Believer because David Gordon Green loves to hire Broadway guys, which I think is great. And so like I'm very like attached to that. And then because people are little pirates and I've seen other things, there is a version of this that was a concert that is Cynthia Erivo and Joshua Henry that is like unbelievable. And that happened after the movie, but like that has sort of like taken place of the performance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Also, there was an off West End performance where Jonathan Bailey was in it as Jamie. Would have given a limb to see that. So I think like the problem that I have is that I've seen stronger combinations. And also I do think that something is lost when you have the distance of a movie versus when you are looking into a person's eyes on stage as they're telling you how in love they are with this person or how heartbroken they are by this person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fully work as a movie for me, but still listen to the soundtrack because the music's still good.
Okay. Well, yeah, the last 5 years is streaming on Tubi right now if you want to check that out there. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and get into what you've been watching.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
All right, BJ, tell me what you've been watching recently.
All right. So I've in my continued journey to turn my one friend Caitlin into a horror fan, I rewatched Cooties, which I hadn't watched in quite a bit. For those that don't know what that is the zombie movie where only children are affected by it, and it takes place at a school. So it's teachers fighting off zombie children. And Lee Whannell is an actor in it and is so unbelievably funny. Like, I couldn't function. Like, I always love him when he acts, but I forgot how funny he is in this movie. There's actually some really, really good writing in it, but it was also very strange because this movie, like, I've been falling into what I like to call like Obama era cinema lately, of just like rewatching the movies that we were making when people like didn't have to worry about politics as much as they have to now, and like what that did to art, and like the boldness that people have in this movie. Like, the main zombie kid that they're trying to kill, he's introduced and his name is Patriot, and he was born on 9/11 and he can't wait to turn 18 so he can join the military. And you're just like, that is a crazy thing to just like see. Wow. In this movie. And one of the teachers is lecturing the kids or whatever about evolution, and keeps intercutting it with how she's not allowed to, by the state of Illinois, talk about how we're actually like, you know, creationism or whatever. And I was like, this movie is so weird to watch like all these years later. It's still super funny. The gore they go for is nuts. Had a great time watching it. But like, yeah, watching movies with Obama era politics, and like the stuff people say is like, it's very surreal.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the cast for this. I've never seen this, but Elijah Wood, Allison Till, Rainn Wilson, Jack McBrayer, Lee Winnell, Nassim Pedrad, Jorge Garcia. Like, that's quite a collection of folks.
Nassim Pedrad is the one who's like the weird conservative too, who's constantly talking about how like she hates that Illinois won't let her carry a gun to school. And it's just like, what the hell is happening? Okay. It's great. There's also an amazing joke where Rainn Wilson is talking to Elijah Wood's character and they're trying to figure out who's going to do something. And he looks him in the eye and he's like, yeah, you're going to go like run around like a little hobbit, huh? And I was like, this is cute. I like this. Okay.
All right. So Cooties is streaming on Pluto TV for free right now. It's also on the CW. I think it's on the Roku channel with ads. So there are a bunch of different ways everywhere. You can watch this one. Cool. All right. What else have you been watching?
All right. So again, because I'm supporting my girl Demi, I rewatched If These Walls Could Talk. This is an anthology that HBO put out. What year was this? The 90s, something like that. But it is three different stories about abortions and like abortion rights. And it is really, really, really hard to watch because it's three, you know, it's different timelines of like how women were dealing with pregnancies when there were different time periods of like what you could do, like what was legally allowed. And I mainly watched it for the Demi Moore one, where she is, you know, she works in the medical field, she finds out she's pregnant, she doesn't want to pursue, you know, the pregnancy or the adoption or anything like that. But so she seeks out a back alley abortion, and it is harrowing. It is so difficult to watch. And it's one of those anthologies that was made clearly because they were like, you know, isn't it great that this is not a thing we have to worry about anymore? And so then watching it now is just like, oh God, like, no, this is exactly the world that we're about to like re-enter. And just Demi is so magnificent in it. Like, she's wonderful. Anyone who's ever doubted her is a fool, because she's phenomenal in it. But yeah, the whole series is great. There's a lot of like really odd casting that I don't want to spoil, because I think like once you see the people show up in it, you're like, can't believe you're here playing this character, what the hell. A lot of that's going on in it, but it's a hard watch. It's a good watch.
Okay, If These Walls Could Talk, that's on Max right now. Mm-hmm. And then what's the other thing you wanted to mention?
And the last thing I wanted to mention, I have literally never shut up about Dinner in America over the last 5 years. I talk about it as much as humanly possible. I was very lucky that I got to host two doubleheader Q&As of Dinner in America out here in Los Angeles. But last week, the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana, California, they're a rep screening in Orange County. If you are anywhere near there, it is maybe my new favorite theater I've ever been to. Like, the vibes are just immaculate there. It's so cool. Little two screener, very cool people, very cool vibe, great selection of stuff. But they did a double feature of Adam Carter Ramier's Snack Shack and Dinner in America, and there were Q&As, and he brought some of the cast there. So the Dinner in America one, Emily Skeggs was there, some of the producer and the production designer were there, so we talked about that, which was great. But the Snack Shack Q&A, it was a big surprise, because Gabriel LaBelle and Connor Sherry, who are the stars of that, showed up, and no one knew they were going to be there. So then suddenly it's like, oh my god, Sammy Fableman's here, what a great day. And it was just a really great double feature of two movies that I love dearly, and a lot of talking about like making movies in the Midwest. And Snack Shack is based very heavily on the director's life, to the point where they shot it in his hometown. It's about real people. A lot of the real people that the movie is about, like their family members, are like extras in scenes. The pool that it takes place at, that's the pool he went to as a kid and worked at as a kid. And so like learning just how closely this movie reflects his own coming of age experience was like really powerful, and stuff that I just didn't know. So it was great. Both of those movies absolutely rock, and the Q&As made it even better. And Gabriel LaBelle is just as charming and funny as you hope that he would be in person.
Amazing. Man, that's one thing I really, really miss about LA, is just those random Q&As where like anybody could show up unannounced. It's just so fun. So if anybody has a chance to visit, definitely seek out what movies might be playing in theaters near you, not just like AMC stuff, but yeah, theaters like the Frida and Vidiot's and all sorts of, there's so many theaters in LA. So
yeah,
just if you're listening to this podcast, I think that might be a smart course of action for you.
Yeah, we're very, very spoiled out here in LA.
Yeah. Okay. So the last thing we're going to talk about here is the what we've been eating section. I haven't really been eating anything interesting, but I have no idea what this is. I'm looking at our shared doc, so you got to tell me. You got to walk me through this one.
Okay. So because I am easily manipulated by algorithms and have no problem admitting that, there is a big thing recently that's been going very viral, which is Dubai chocolate. And so Dubai chocolate is a very specific type of chocolate bar, that it is a filled chocolate bar where inside of it is pistachio and naffa. I think that's the correct pronunciation. My apologies. But naffa is like a pastry that's really popular in like Middle Eastern countries, made of like kadayif and tahini paste. And so like the inside of this chocolate bar, like the best way I can describe it, like it looks like a Reptar bar from Rugrats, because that with the pistachio, it's like Easter grass green slime inside of a chocolate bar. And it is so expensive, but like, I don't care. I bought it because I wanted to know. It is so good. Like, it is unreal how good this is. Like, the pistachio is just perfect. The naffa it adds this really interesting texture that's inside of it. And because it's been like exploding in popularity, we're starting to get like more than just like the chocolate company that made this. Like Salt and Straw Ice Cream started making a Dubai chocolate ice cream, which is like a chocolate ice cream with this pistachio kind of like swirl in the middle, and it is so good, and I can't stop eating it. It's gonna be a problem. I've been like looking up tutorials on how to make it myself because I'm like, I can't keep spending like $10 on a single chocolate bar.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm just like tapped into the wrong algorithms. I feel like I should be seeing when anything chocolate goes viral, but this one has totally escaped me. But I'm not a huge pistachio person, but I think that flavor sounds like it might be minimized in the mix there. So I might dig this if I have
it's
a chance
so
to
good. Like I really love pistachio. I'm very Italian, and like pistachio is like one of our flavors, so like that's a thing for me. But I think the reason that it exploded in popularity is because like you see people do the little, like they crack open the chocolate bar, and usually it's like, oh, look at it, it's like strawberry jam. That's so pretty. I don't think people are expecting to see like green. Like baby food green inside chocolate, and everyone's like, what the hell is that? That like, that's gotta be gross, right? No, it's delicious. It's so good.
Okay. Excellent. Wow. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find a lot about the movies and TV shows probably that we mentioned, or at least some of the people involved in them, at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is typically published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.